next one is an old, old song. I wonder how many of you know it. I will give thanks.
I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises to thee among the nations. For thy steadfast love is great. It is great to the heavens, and thy fairness, thy faithfulness to the skies.
Be exalted.
Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be
wonderful to welcome everybody here today. And we do have some visitors. We have Paul and Wenda's family with them, and you are so welcome. It is great to see you taking up a whole pew. That's fantastic. And I think that might be... We do have a couple of other visitors, and we'll get to know you as we pass the peace in a moment. And let me just explain that to you so that you don't think that church has just gone into a total uproar. Because here at Footscray Baptist, we like to welcome one another with the peace of Christ, and we tend to walk around and try to greet as many people in the 3 or 4 minutes that we have available to do this as possible. So let me first greet you. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Please greet one another.
Thank you.
Oh, I didn't give you enough time, sorry. Well, it is wonderful to be all together again this morning. It's particularly lovely to have Dennis and Angela with us. Did you know we're having a morning tea in your honour today? Had you heard the rumour? It's a lunch. Oh, there is no morning tea. We don't do morning teas here. It's lunch or nothing. We missed out on your wedding celebration and we've never had a moment to celebrate it. So this is it, people. It's celebration day. Yeah, it's very exciting. Just a little bit of community news. Oh, do you like the photo? This is you might recognise young Christine and underneath whatever it is. That's Charlotte from Westgate Baptist Church. We're doing combined youth events this term, and on Friday night they had a sleepover, a homeless sleep out. The plan was actually that they were going to sleep out outside, but it was raining and we're soft, so we slept in the hall, but it was still very uncomfortable. We had this amazing shelter creating competition, so suffice to say that the girls, I think, won the award for creativity. Oh, Joseph, come on. He didn't get a prize. That was tough competition that night. Yeah, I know. It was a thing of beauty. It really was. And this morning, the young guys are very fortunate to have Jonathan Cornford again taking them through some meaty Bible thinking on salvation this morning. So hopefully Joseph will give the sign and they'll move out a little bit later. Now, I wonder, a number of you would have heard about Alex's sister passing away. That was last Sunday, is that right? Right. So Alex and Lucci gone over to the family? Does anyone know? Possibly. They've both gone. Right. So we'll keep Alex and Lucci and Franz and Alexis and Carissa and their extended family in our thoughts and prayers at this time. I believe Alex's sister had a bit of a long battle with cancer. Is that right, Beth?
Yes.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it's a fairly traumatic time for the family. The last little bit of, well, it's actually a request. The last thing I have today, Heather's actually looking for accommodation quite urgently. So if you are looking, or if you've got space for someone else to live with you, or if you know of someone, Heather really needs to hear in the next week or so, really, if she can. Yeah, it's pretty full on at the moment. So does anyone else have, now we have our court, do you want to mention? Yeah.
We have our quarterly meeting today, and we have a few things on our agenda, and they're all good things. You'll learn a bit about what's happening in the church, what's been happening, what is happening, a little bit about where we're going. So please stay for that, whether you're a member or not. If you're a regular attender, of course, this is part of your life, and please stay. If you're a visitor, you're most welcome to stay. And because we don't have morning tea today, what a good idea just to, we'll have our service, we'll have our meeting, and then we'll all have lunch together. But of course, if you need to go, you are blessed and free to go as well. So please remember that. We'll be rolling straight into our church meeting when we finish the service. Thanks.
Thanks, Rowena. Did anyone else have any new... Yeah, Norma, come.
Good morning, everyone. This morning, I'm just sort of thinking if I should stand up here, but I want to give glory to the Lord Jesus. Last Monday, I went to see my family doctor, and I requested a copy, a document here. And would you like to read it with me, Bronwyn, so that what my doctor, oncology, has said about a report regarding my situation. This is, I'm shaking. This is the report before my situation after my chemo and radiotherapy. And this is the report written from my oncologist after June 20.
So this is the most recent one?
Yeah.
There's a lot of big words in this. You want me to read all those big words?
Yeah. And yeah, it's up to you. There is some sort there. What happens, the first diagnosis, what happened in the PET scan,
so she
and what she said about it.
Oh, yes. Okay. So you were initially diagnosed with advanced nasopharyngeal cancer, treated with chemo, radio, and on that want, further PET scans, pain in the back radiating down the legs.
It tasted did not attain after the chemo.
Didn't attain a complete response. So what does that mean? That the treatment wasn't enough?
The treatment at the time did not work at all.
Right.
Has no effect on my situation.
And the most recent report says that she's examined you and everything's looking clear. No something signs, don't know what that means. I've discussed it with Norma, what this means in terms of the status of her disease, whether it's been cured or not. I've said to her I'm not able to answer this fully, and going by her scans, it's possible that she just took a very long time to get complete clearance, but you've got complete clearance. Stop working. You've stopped working because the thought that you had an incurable disease has had, obviously having an incurable disease has had a huge impact on your life, having to stop working. Norma tells me she believes that there has been a miracle and attributes this to the many prayers from her friends. This is in a medical report. Wow, no more other specific symptoms. Wow, that's not a bad thing to read in a medical report.
Yeah, because I want to, you know, let everyone know that what I have said here when my doctor said that they couldn't see any trace of cancer. So I just want to honor God. And I just still want to thank everyone for, you know, my doctor has documented that my friends pray and God hears our prayer. And I want to give glory to God for that. In Jesus' name.
Amen. I think that deserves it. It is pretty unbelievable, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Who would have thought? We did not see that one coming. Happy to have it. Did anyone else have anything? No. Today, I've got a couple of little friends. Do you think my little friends there would come up with Neo? Winda? Grandma Winda? I need some little friends. I'm just wondering what little friends I've got. Neo, come and be my little friend. Just because today thanks Eunice. today Rowena is going to be talking to all of us about treasure. And I remember Andrea actually talking to her. Hello, my little friends. It's so lovely to have you. Stay with me, Mummy. Anxious. Come. Thank you, Grandpa. The grown-ups are going to be talking about treasures later on. What do you think when you think of a treasure? I know what I think. I always think pirates. I think we've been watching too many movies. I'm going to get you to close your eyes for a minute. Close your eyes. And I want you to think about what's in your heart. If you could imagine where your heart is, and let's imagine that in our hearts we keep everything that is precious to us. Everything, all our most special things we keep in our hearts. The people that we love the most, the things that mean the most to us in life. I wonder what those things are. I wonder who those people are. What's in your heart this morning? What do you keep in that special place? If your house was on fire, what would you race back and grab? Well, hopefully nothing, actually. But if you did. And this is for all of us to ask, really, doesn't matter what age we are, what's in that very, very secret place that only us and God know about? Because we do all have treasure. And we'll go to any length to protect what that treasure is. Really, when we stop and think about it, what length would you go to protect those incredibly special things? Okay, you can open your eyes now. I found a really cool treasure chest thing that you can cut out. And, well, actually, what you can do is you can draw it, so you colour it in, make it pretty, make your treasure chest as pretty as you want to. And then we can cut it out together and glue it or tape it together. And once you've, if you want to do this, once you've made your treasure chest, maybe write something or draw something, something that someone or something or someone that's really special to you. What would you put in your treasure chest? The really special things in life. So that's what we're going to do this morning. And as we do that, Becky's going to come up and share our Bible reading with us, which is, funnily enough, about treasure.
Our Bible reading for today is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. And then 51 and 52. A hidden treasure. I'm reading from the contemporary English version. The kingdom of heaven is like what happens when someone finds a treasure hidden in a field and buries it again. A person like that is happy and goes and sells everything in order to buy that field. The kingdom of heaven is like what happens when a shop owner is looking for fine pearls. After finding a very valuable one, the owner goes and sells everything in order to buy that pearl. Jesus asked his disciples if they understood all these things, and they said, "Yes, we do." So he told them, "Every student of the scriptures who becomes a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like someone who brings out new and old treasures from the storeroom." May the Lord ask his blessings through the reading of his word.
Sorry, just before Rowena comes and shares with us, this is a great song, this beautiful old hymn. I'm sure many of you know it. Andrea, do you remember when Andrea spoke about treasures it was a few weeks ago, and I remember one thing she said about is, whatever you look at, that's where you go. So she's a bike rider, and she said, so she doesn't look at the tree, because if she looks at the tree, that's where she ends up. But whatever our treasure is, if we focus on that, that's where we go. Anyway, this hymn came to mind. So let's stand and sing this hymn as we prepare to hear from the Word this morning. Beautiful words. Let's sing.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of love.
Over the past 2 weeks, we've been looking at making decisions together. Last week, Jeb reminded us of the importance of the Bible in making our decisions, and the week before that, I talked about a discernment process we can use to make decisions together. I'm wondering if anybody who was here 2 weeks ago can cast their mind back and think about some of the steps in decision making that were mentioned. There was this cute little lizardy thing, remember? And it was losing its skin. Can you remember what that one was about? Yes? Shh. Starts with an S. Shedding. It was letting go of things that were stopping us from moving into the will of God, wasn't it? So we had shedding. We had somebody with their hand up to their ear, and what was that one? Starts with an L. Listening. And there were a couple of others. Anybody remember what they were? Say it louder, Hermie. Framing, yes. Knowing what we were making a decision about. And the other one was grounding, wasn't it? So today we're going to hear about another one in this discernment process that's provided by Danny Morris and Charles Olson. I just want to remind you that when we have a discernment process about making major decisions as Christians, especially as groups of Christians in a church, that we are looking for the will of God, what God is prompting us to do. So it's making a decision and then acting on that decision that God is prompting us to do. And the idea is that as we reach that decision, that the group together has a sense of peace and has a sense of being closer to God and one another. So today I'd like us to look at the part of the process called weaving. Weaving brings together the Bible, church history, and current experience, really our Christian treasures. And our text from Matthew chapter 13 helps us to understand the importance of weaving together the old and the new in our decision making. We read Jesus saying, every student of the scriptures who becomes a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like someone who brings new and old treasures from the storeroom. Every student of the scriptures. Now that reminds us of the people who were the Jewish scribes, the people who really knew their scriptures, the people who studied to understand what God was like. But it doesn't stop there. Every student of the scriptures who becomes a disciple in the kingdom of heaven. So these are the people who decide to follow Jesus, the disciples in the kingdom of heaven. Those two things together, someone like that, brings the old and the new treasures together. They have a whole storeroom of treasures to go into and take these wonderful treasures and bring them together, weave them together when they need to take a step further to further God's kingdom on earth. That text was originally written to Matthew's faith community, urging them to value both their tradition and the new opportunities for expressing their faith. It meant weaving together the best of the past with the best of the present to find God's will for the future. In his gospel, Matthew directed his community to their new treasure, the person of Jesus Christ as God with us. That is, Matthew reminded them that their current faith experience is that new treasure in Jesus. Indeed, it's discovering and living in the kingdom of God. At the same time, Matthew treasured and retained the old, the scriptures of Israel that are woven throughout his gospel. Matthew identifies the Psalms, the law, and the prophets as old treasure, and the stories and sayings in the person of Jesus as new treasure. Both are treasures as they reveal God to us. New treasures become old treasures when they are handed down through the ages. These old treasures from the tradition, they form the tradition of the church. And that tradition is formed by the continual process of handing on the essence of the gospel to the next generation. In contrast, the new treasures are the movements of renewal. And renewal are those times when the Spirit of God brings a new experience of how Christ becomes alive in our midst in a fresh way today. Both tradition and renewal are crucial to the church, to the health of the church, in its life, in its discernment, in its decision making, in its action. However, every past expression is not valuable simply because it's old, nor is every new expression worthwhile pursuing simply because we haven't done it before. Some past forms of Christian expression may be more of a burden than a pressure, than a treasure, and some current expressions of church may be hollow fads, and we need to let go of them. Let me just take an aside here and tell you a little story about when I was a young Christian in the early 70s. I was part of a group called the House of the New World, And we were all very trendy young Christians. And we had this wonderful mural all around the shop front that we used to gather in. And one of the things on the mural said, Jesus is a mushroom. I don't think I understood what that was about then, and I sure don't understand what it's about now, and that's one thing that sure isn't a treasure and can be left behind. So you see the idea. Not everything that somebody thought up thinking it was a great idea to express their faith is actually a treasure. Some things can be let go of. But other things that we discover in our midst are truly treasures. We find a new way to show our love, our faith, in our action in the world. How are we to discern the things of value, both old and new? How are we to weave the jewels of the past with the gems of the present so our church makes godly decisions? Jesus speaks of a person who discovers treasure hidden in a field. By some chance, he happened to be at the right place at the right time. Maybe he tripped over something on the ground and, stopping to investigate, found the exposed handle of a silver cup. Maybe the glint of gold caught his eye at the bottom of a hole where a dog had been digging. The scene fits the times in which Jesus lived. In the ancient world, treasure was often buried for safekeeping. But sometimes, through premature death, the owner was never able to recover his treasure. Today, most of us wouldn't go around measuring treasure. Some people might stuff some money into their mattress or put it under a floorboard. But you know what? Sometimes as they get elderly and a bit forgetful, they forget about where they've put their money. But the person in this story that Jesus tells does not forget. Remember, he goes, finds the treasure, he covers it over again, and he goes away and he sells everything. That might have taken a little bit of time. He sells everything so he can buy that field and have that treasure. You know, that person has such joy because that person becomes a disciple in the kingdom of heaven. That's what they've discovered. They've discovered Jesus. They've discovered following Jesus. They've discovered the best thing in life, to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ and become part of the community of disciples, which is, in the presence of God, the kingdom of heaven. What joy to discover this treasure. Now, in contrast, Jesus tells of a pearl merchant. This is a person who knows what they're looking for. He doesn't trip over this pearl or, you know, happen to go past something and see it lying there. No, this person is actively seeking. This person is already knowledgeable and actively seeking a very fine pearl. Maybe years of skill and knowledge is brought to this quest. Looking for pearls is this person's business. And hoping and searching and believing he would eventually come across such a treasure. And it's the treasure that's worth a long devotion, worth hunting for a decade or almost a lifetime. And so this one, knowing about this special pearl, goes away and sells everything to have this pearl. Now, who could this person be? Remember the last part of our verse? This is the student This is the one who studied and knows all the scriptures. And they bring all of that knowledge, all of that understanding to their search. And where does their search lead them? To Jesus. And they understand that they have all these treasures from the past, yes. And they are wanting this new treasure. They are the student of the scriptures who's become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven through finding that pearl of great price. What is it? It's Jesus. It's deciding to follow Jesus. It's deciding to join with all those other disciples in that community of faith, showing the kingdom of God on earth. And so in our text, we find these two parables, these two word pictures about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, we understand to be the place where God is. We know that God is not confined to the heavens because God is here amongst us. The kingdom of God is the very presence of God upon us, around us, and within us. It was announced and brought into being by the words and deeds, the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so we know it by becoming his disciple. We know it by finding the intimacy of relationship with God. We know it by taking the step of faith. We know it by commitment to live the values of the kingdom of God in our lives. We know it by being his body. Together, gathered for worship, community and mission in this time and place. We know it when we discern God's prompting together and when we decide to move in the direction God is leading. We know it when we act on our decisions. In all of this, as the gathered disciples of the kingdom, we weave together our treasures, old and new. So let's have a look at how we might actually use the step of weaving in a decision-making process. Now, I'm just going to bring something out of the air for what we might be making a decision about, and it's only probably because it's something that I'm very, very interested in, so we won't be making a decision about it. It's just what we might call hypothetical, just so that we can get the sense of this process, okay? Say we wanted to make a decision about caring for the environment. We might be looking for a way to, together as a church, we could do more to care for the environment. So that could be our sort of framing thing. Footscray Baptist Church wants to find God's will about how we can care for the environment. In the step of weaving, we would start by taking up the relevant threads from the Bible. And so we could ask, what biblical texts or images or stories come to mind? We would then suggest some texts, images, themes, stories, or people in Scripture that make connections with caring for the environment. We might take time in our Sunday services to explore these texts in our services and in our sermons, in our Bible readings. As I've been talking, has anything come to mind when I've talked about caring for the environment? Trevor? Starts right at the very beginning starts right at the very beginning. We'd have the whole Bible to look to, wouldn't we? To take those threads from the Bible. This is one lot of threads that are coming into our weaving. This is starting right from the beginning, and all the way through we would find more. Does anybody think of another part of the Bible where caring for the environment is particularly clear? People often think of that text in Romans about the whole of creation groaning when they think of this, but there are many, many more. So that would be one lot of threads coming from the Bible. Then we would look at the relevant threads from church history, and we could ask, what stories and people in church history come to mind about caring for the environment? We might suggest learning about, for instance, St. Francis of Assisi. Many people know the story of St. Francis of Assisi. Well, we might have to have that story sometime, because that really does give us many, many clues about how God acted through St. Francis and his community to care for the earth. And there are many, many more. There's a whole trajectory of church history where certain people had particular insight and action about caring for the environment. We'd also look at the relevant threads in Christianity today. We could ask, what stories, places, and people have you heard about Christians caring for the environment in our world today? So we might do a search on the internet, and we might find all these different groups who are doing something about, as Christians, doing something about the environment. And we'd come across sites like Seasons of Creation with Norm Habel, and how he has done a whole lot of work in this area as a person living today, a Christian, and a group around him who are doing something about caring for the environment as disciples of Christ in the kingdom of God. And so we would have threads coming from the Bible, threads coming from church history, threads coming from Christian experience today. And as this step of discernment, we would bring those together and see, whoa, what is that saying? What is God prompting us in this church, in this place, at this time? What is God saying to us about this question? The big thing is that we, Footscray Baptist Church, have the opportunity to make decisions in this way. We can hear those words of Jesus speaking to us right here and right now. Every student of the Scriptures who becomes a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like someone who brings new and old treasures from the storeroom. Well, Jesus taught his followers a prayer. And it's a prayer that seeks God's will to be done on earth. It's a prayer of discernment. It's a prayer of asking God to bring all these things together so that we can live as his people in his will in this time and place. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together, and it will be up on the screen so that we can pray together. Our Father in heaven, may your holy name be honoured. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. Forgive us the wrongs we have done, as we forgive the wrongs that others have done to us. Do not bring us to hard testing, but keep us safe from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen.
treasures. Perhaps these words from the song, when it's all been said and done, can help us contemplate on what our message, Rowena's message was about treasures. When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? When it's all been said and done, all my treasures will mean nothing. Only what I have done for love's rewards will stand the test of time. Loving God, be with us as we bring you our prayers. We pray for your world and your creation. Help us to learn to care for it and preserve it for future generations. We pray for places affected by conflict and natural disasters. Bring peace and reconciliation wherever it is needed. Look after the homeless, the oppressed, the displaced, the orphans and the parents who have lost their children. We pray for our country and its new leadership. May justice and real concern for the welfare of its people guide their decisions and plans. We pray for comfort for the sick and the lonely, sustenance and strength for the needy. We ask for compassion and concern from all of us and the desire to make things better for everyone. Only through your grace and mercy are all these things possible. Hear our prayers, O God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Ron, shall we have the song while we're taking up the offering, please?
Will we stand and sing our last song as we take up the offering this morning? Would it be beautiful to sing that song, Becky? Never mind. I'll sing this one instead. Let's sing about this treasure. Shout to the Lord. My Jesus, my Savior.
My Jesus, my Savior. Lord, there is no.
dear brothers and sisters, the blessing of the God of life, the blessing of the Christ of love, the blessing of the Spirit of grace, the blessing of the Trinity be upon you, now and evermore. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. If you need to go, you can't stay for the church meeting and the lunch, this is your time to make a getaway. And if you are not a regular attender and you feel like you've heard enough, at any time you can move off. We've been delighted by your presence with us today. Does anybody know if there's a charger for Paul's scooter? Does anybody know if there's a charger for Paul's scooter anywhere in the church that he can get to? Maybe who might know about this thing? Yes, Lisa, could you? You help Paul come down with Bron and in the library. Okay, Paul, do you need some help to get around to the library? Oh, it's not open yet. All right. All right, we'll let Bong just look after Paul for a moment there.